Well, desire and interest in your prayers today and your attention. With the things that have been said thus far in service, I feel that maybe what I'd originally planned to share today might not be the most appropriate. So I'd like for us to open our Bibles to Isaiah, the 36th chapter. And notice an account here. I'm going to do quite a bit of reading this morning and ask the Lord to give us the words to say that would make it connect with our individual circumstances today. Isaiah was a man, if we turn back to the first chapter, maybe I'll look there real quick, the first chapter of Isaiah, and the first verse tells us that what we're going to read is part of a vision. It's some of the accounts that Isaiah kept. I don't know if Isaiah kept a diary or if he wrote some kind of in a ledger book or something from his day-to-day life. But it says the vision of Isaiah the son of Amos, which was concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So he lived and operated as a prophet under four kings. One of those, Uzziah, was king for like 50-some years, I believe. Two of them weren't so long, but Hezekiah was king for quite a while. By the time Hezekiah came along, I believe that Isaiah was a man that was up in years. And if we turn back over here to the 36th chapter, it says, "Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah." So Isaiah had been around at least all 14 of those years. So it says, "In this 14th year of King Hezekiah, that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the defense cities of Judah and took them." Sounds like an infiltration of the enemy. Assyria was a nation that was opposed to Israel in a military sense, and their culture was different, and they worshiped different gods and all of this. And it says the king of Assyria took Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem, sent Rabshakeh from Lachish unto Jerusalem unto King Hezekiah with a great army. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field, and came forth unto him Eliakim and Hilkiah's son, which was over the house, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah, Asaph's son, the recorder. So he came and began to come to a vantage point to Jerusalem. So he'd conquered some of the defense cities out around, but he sent this man to Jerusalem to try to get a message to Hezekiah. And Hezekiah basically sent or commissioned three men, Eliakim, and Shebna and Joah, to go out to hear what he had to say. And Rabshakeh said unto them, "Say ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is there within thou trustest? I say, sayest thou, but they are vain words. I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust? that thou rebellest against me. So he's saying, you tell Hezekiah that I come here with the council of war. I came here, I've already conquered your outlying cities, and I've come here to make war with you, and I know what I'm doing. We're experienced. We have victories to prove that we know what we're doing. He says, lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt, wherein if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it also. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him. So he's saying, don't bother with reaching out to Egypt for help, because he's not going to be able to help you in this time. He says, but if thou say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away and said to Judah and to Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar? And so Hezekiah had made a conscious effort to reduce idolatrous worship by taking down high places. And this man was not, he was not familiar with the difference between the worshiping of the idols in the groves and on the high places and worshiping God in Jerusalem. And he just felt like Hezekiah had taken these places down as a control factor. And Hezekiah really was trying to annihilate idol worship he's trying to do the right thing. That's the point. Hezekiah was trying to do the right thing during his reign. And he jumped to a wrong conclusion. He was making a wrong statement and all those things. And he said in verse 8, now therefore give pledges, I pray thee, to my master, the king of Assyria. And I will give thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants, and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? And am I now come up without the Lord against the land to destroy it? And the Lord said unto me, go up against this land and destroy it. Then said Eliakim and Shebna and Joah, that's the three that Hezekiah sent out. Those are the Israelites. Speak, I pray thee, unto thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it, and speak not to us in the Jews' language in the ears of the people that are on the wall. But Rabshakeh said, hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men that sit upon the wall? And he said, it's going to get so bad that you're going to eat your own refuse. That's what he said. Now, the enemy will take our circumstances and the things that we face, and he will try to work every conceivable angle to bring us discouragement, oppression, and overthrow us in every front that he possibly can. And that Rabshakeh, he refused to speak in the Syrian tongue. He was determined to get the message out to all the people. And he wasn't talking softly. He had a strong voice. I believe he had a voice that carried well. And that's the reason that Sennacherib sent him in the first place, is because he had a good way of communicating. And he knew the language well. So he was speaking to the Jews in their own language, trying to bring as much humiliation, accusation, guilt, and fear, and everything else that he could bring. He was trying to do it all. And he was trying to bring destruction to them. Then Rabshakeh, in verse 13, stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and said, hear ye the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you. Isn't that what the enemy tries to tell us today? Your profession of salvation, your trust in the Lord, is not going to help you in this situation. Your confidence in the love of God, your belief and your profession of Christianity is going to fail you. That's what the enemy comes to tell us today. And that's what Rabshakeh from the Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, was telling to Hezekiah and to the people. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord. Now, isn't that just like the enemy? It's pointless to trust in the Lord for something that you need to just take care of yourself. Maybe you need to tell somebody how the hog ate the cabbage or how he's going to eat the cabbage. Maybe you need to take some things in your own hands, but don't leave it to, he says, don't let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. He said, don't believe that. The enemy is coming along today and will tell you it's all hopeless. There's no hope. There's no use in your trust, your ability to trust, your reason for trust. It's groundless. It's baseless. There is no place for it to really take root any longer. It's been undermined. We've taken the defense cities all around you already. Things are crumbling and crashing in on you. Okay? That's what the enemy tries to tell us today. In verse 16, it says, "Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me. Eat ye every one of his vine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria?" He was on a worldwide mission. You know, the devil is on a worldwide mission today. Brother David said earlier that Satan is a liar. And one of the lies he's telling you is that Christianity and godliness will not prevail. That's what he's saying to us. He's saying that you're all losers and you're all going to end up losing. And it's pointless to try to live in a manner that's pleasing to God because there's really no reward after all. You might as well get what you can out of this life. That's one of the lies the devil's trying to tell us. You might as well enjoy some of the corn and the wine and the fig tree, so to speak, right now. He said, I've got a land that's similar to yours. I'll take you to. It's captivity, though, you see. The enemy wants us to give in, to cave in. And that's what old Rabshakeh was trying to do. He says, where are the gods? Verse 19, where are the gods of Hamath and Arphad? Where are the gods of Shepharvaim? And have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? So, he's talking about gods of idolatrous people, is he not? You know, the enemy likes to point out that Christianity in this world is on a decline. He likes to point that out. He likes to say that if you're on the side of Christianity, you're on the losing team. That's what he wants to tell us today. It says, who are they among all the gods of these lands that have delivered their land out of my hand, and the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? What are you thinking here anyway? Do you think you will survive? But they, that's the three men coming from Hezekiah, they held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, saying, answer him not. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, that was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh. So they came back, and they reported to the king what the message was, and the gloom and the doom and the distress. And sometimes we come to one another and we report the gloom and the doom. We report the things that are distressful to us, that cause us to be discouraged, that cause us to feel hopeless. And sometimes we feel like when it rains, it pours. And when one of us has trouble, all of us has trouble. You know, it'd be easier if only one of us had a problem at a time, wouldn't it? It'd be easier if, you know, if this was my week and y'all could encourage me, and next week one of y'all would take a turn at troubles and we would help you out. It would be nice if it was that way, but I've found that the enemy likes to come and just kind of get us all in the corner, so to speak, and then just pour it on all of us at the same time. That's what he'd like to do. And so he'd got the Israelites into that kind of situation, the men of Judah. Hezekiah was the king at this time. We go on into the next chapter, and we find it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, when he got the report, when he heard what they said about this man that came. What did he do with it? He rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth, and he went where? He went into the house of the Lord. You know what the wisest thing we can do when the enemy is attacking us? Is take our troubles to the house of the Lord. That's the best thing we can do. That's what Hezekiah did. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. So the next best thing, after taking your troubles to the Lord, to the house of the Lord, is to call for the one that you know has personal contact with the Lord. He called for Isaiah. Isaiah, I'm guessing, was a pretty old man by this time. He called for Isaiah and he said, Isaiah, we need some help. The enemy's coming up here against us. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth and there's not strength to bring forth. It may be that the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh. Remember, he's the threat from the enemy, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say unto your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid. I want to tell you that this morning. Be not afraid. I don't know what the enemy has, I don't know what the Rabshakeh has said to you this morning or this week, but I want to tell you, in the fear of the Lord, don't be afraid. Thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria hath blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libnah, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And he heard saying concerning, so we speak, we can read all this, but we'll go down to the 14th verse. Well, maybe we'll read verse 9. And he heard saying concerning Tirhakah, king of Ethiopia, he has come forth to make war with him. And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God, in whom thou trustest, deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the Assyrian. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria hath done to all the lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed? As Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the children of Eden which were in Telassar. Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arphad? And the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hena and Iva. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Here again, we find that Hezekiah went to the house of the Lord with his troubles. He went there and expressed his need. He went there and took the letter from the enemy. Sometimes we feel like we get an ultimatum from the enemy, and he's threatening us. I want to encourage us to take those things and spread them out before the Lord. If you need to write them out on a piece of paper and open that piece of paper and lay it out before the Lord and kneel down and pray, and ask him to look and see what you've been threatened with. It says that Hezekiah spread it before the Lord. And verse 15 says, and Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which has sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the king of Assyrians have laid waste all the nations and their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone, and therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, and all the kingdoms of earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent unto Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria. I'm going to stop there just a minute. And I want to encourage us, when you feel overwhelmed and you feel like you're having to spread the letter out, so to speak, before the Lord, don't be afraid to turn to this chapter and read this prayer to the Lord. This prayer that Hezekiah prayed, verses 15 through 20. Take that. This is Isaiah chapter 37, verses 15 through 20. Is Hezekiah's prayer. And he just said, Lord, I know it's a fact. Sennacherib has been successful in his campaign against those other kingdoms, but they didn't really have a God anyway. They were worshiping idols, things that they had made with their own hands, but this is different. He's blaspheming you, the God of all creation. So we'll pick the story up again. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent unto Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, this is verse 21, the Lord God of Israel, whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn, and the daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee, whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed, and against whom thou hast exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eye. eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel. By thy servants hast thou reproached the Lord, and hast said, by the multitude of my chariots am I come up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon. And I will cut down the tall cedars thereof, and the choice firs thereof, and I will enter into the height of his border, and the forest of Carmel I have digged and drunk water, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of the besieged places. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times that I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste defense cities in ruinous heaps. Therefore their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded, and they were as the grass of the field, and as the green herbs in the grass of the housetops, and as corn blasted before it be grown up. But I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and thy rage against me. This was all describing Isaiah's answer from the Lord towards Sennacherib. He's talking about how Sennacherib has come, and he hasn't just come against a literal king. He's come against the Lord, the God of heaven. May the Lord help us to know how to shift the responsibility of the battle, not just against us, but Lord, help us to move it to a place that it's something the Lord can take up for us. All right? When you're standing for right, you're standing for God. And when God is being under attack, we can pray like Hezekiah prayed. There's other things that has fell, but it's because they didn't even have a real God. They had idols that they were worshiping. God knows Sennacherib's abode. He knows his going out, his coming in. He knows the rage against God. Maybe I'll skip down. Read in verse 34. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Syrians 145,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So who got up? You ever thought about that? You know, the Lord has a way of turning the tables on the enemy. You know, 145,000 in a military infantry, it'd be a very formidable force. Come against one city. 145,000 men were camped outside of Joplin, and they said, tomorrow, Joplin's going to belong to us, and all of y'all are going to be dead. It would be pretty intimidating, wouldn't it not? But that night, the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. That's 185, not 145. 185,000 men died that night. Now, I don't know exactly what happened. It just says the angel of the Lord went out and smote them. How did they die? Life and breath are in the hands of the Lord. So he could have caused them all to asphyxiate during the night. They could have all had a heart attack in the middle of the night. They could have all got, I don't know, something that would have caused them to die immediately. I don't know what could have infected them, but the Lord orchestrated that. He says, when they arose early in the morning, I'm assuming since the Assyrians were all dead, It had to be the Israelites that got up in the morning. Behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adram, Melech, and Sharezer, his son, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. So this is what happened to the man that said, don't let Hezekiah deceive you and make you think that you're not going to fall prey to me. This is what happened to the man that said, just look at what we've accomplished. I got the plan of war. You know, all these other kings fell prey to me. What makes you think that you won't fall too? You know what the enemy tries to do to us? He tries to point out the places that he has gained ground in other people's lives. Maybe it's our family. Maybe it's our friends. Maybe it's in our nation. He likes to point out to me the social decline, the things that have changed in my lifetime as evidence that he's gaining more and more control and that God is having less and less impact. I don't deny. It's like Hezekiah said, I have to acknowledge that Sennacherib has been successful in a lot of his things he's done. But Lord, he's defying you. And when you are endeavoring to live the way God wants you to live, and the enemy is coming against you and causing you to be attacked for the position that you're taking, realize the enemy is coming against the Lord. And you can pray that prayer that Hezekiah prayed over there in the 37th chapter, beginning at the 15th verse, where it says, Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, and he began to draw the Lord's attention to what was really going on. And the end result of all of this was that not only was his vast army of 185,000 killed in one night without Israel lifting a sword, Sennacherib himself got it back. And while he was worshiping in his idolatry, I don't know what was he doing in the house of the idol. I mean, was he in there complaining that he lost all of his soldiers? I mean, I don't know. I think he ought to be in. But he was in there, and at the very time that he was in his idol worship process, his own sons smote him with the sword and killed him. Lord, help us to realize that the enemy we're facing is no different than Sennacherib. It's no different. And he's intimidating, as threatening as it seems like it is. I believe the Lord will bring us out and deliver us in a way that we never thought was possible. The people that heard on the wall, the people that was sitting on the wall and heard Sennacherib going on about how they was going to be eating their own refuse and drinking their own waste products and all of those kind of things, all the disgusting things that he was prophesying about, those people had no idea how the Lord was going to deliver them. Hezekiah was even considering reaching out to Egypt, which was not a good idea, by the way. But none of that is the way God used to deliver them. They just got up one morning and the enemy was all dead. You know, I want to encourage us this morning to take our troubles to the Lord. to the house of the Lord, to call for help from those that can pray the prayer of faith. And when we reach out in that manner, the Lord can bring a deliverance like He brought to those in Jerusalem that day. And Jerusalem didn't fall to Sennacherib. You pray for me. Time got away from us here. Thank you for bearing with us as we read through the story today, and trust it'll be a blessing to your hearts.